Monty music. How are you now?
What's up? I guess. I don't know.
What is that?
Ariel, why are you invading our privacy like that?
Ariel, Helwani, jeez.
Why is he all about our business?
Yo,
like
he had the big clout. He had Action Bronson on today.
What? I didn't see that. I know Action's a huge fan, but.
Brancelino? I like how you texted me, come outside, I can't find it, but you parked right next to my car.
I was just, you know, trying to waste your time.
Nah, that's fair.
Waste Slim's time, 2019.
As you often do. No finisher on that one. Hey, it's Slim. It is Slim.
Slim Cellini and Monty Dino.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What a tag team.
Wow. We're basically like the Cain Velasquez and Alexa Grasso of Lucha Libre.
Why Alexa Grasso?
Because she had a mask, too.
Oh, was she there, too?
They gave her a mask, yeah.
Oh, no shit.
And El Pantera.
He was Pantoja?
No. El Pantera. Yair Rodriguez.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Okay. I did not see any clips from that. Did they do the thing?
You didn't see Cain Velasquez's move, bro?
No.
All right. Hold on.
Was it good? I know they did it.
No, you're about to shit your pants. You're actually about to be like, wait, what the fuck
just
happened?
It was a completely Mexican promotion, right?
Completely Mexican poop your pants, yeah.
And it begins, ladies and gentlemen. It's AIN MMA episode 87.
Why are they doing us like this?
What? You can't find it?
No, it's probably on fucking... I gotta go to Ariel Helwani's Twitter and shit. It's
fucking
stupid.
Herb.
Fucking stupid.
You gotta go to the zone.
Tell me about your Slim...
I had a show this weekend. I'm pretty sure I tore my meniscus in my left knee.
So you're out for about a year and a half? About 18 months?
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks.
Jeez.
No, this was, I get in the pit, I throw my legs around like a wild man, and I stomp the ground really hard, and last time I did this, about a month ago at a show, my knee had this little, kind of little pop, and it hurt for days afterwards.
Rick.
Not just like walking really, but like just when I would like get out of bed and if I twist it funny, it really hurt. So guess what I did? The same fucking thing. Guess what hurts? The same fucking spot. So I think I really messed myself up the last time, but... You know, it's fine. We're living through it. All right, here's Kane. He went up the ring. Oh, nice little flip there. All right. Oh, Kane knocked, pulled that off? Or was that him?
That was Kane.
That's Kane Velasquez?
Yes.
Bro, what? He did a Rey Mysterio?
I don't know what that's called. We'd have to...
Let's consult. Sean asked.
Bro!
That's like a Rey Mysterio move.
You were not expecting that, right?
I cannot believe he is athletic enough to do that. Especially with his knee that just went out. That's the same thing that happened to me at my show.
Oh. No, no.
My knee just went.
Yeah, so getting down to some cool stuff here. On Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, week 6, that happened on July 30th. We had one of the most exciting episodes yet.
For sure.
Started off with a contract going to Rodrigo Nascimento, who defeated Mikal Martinek with a arm triangle choke in the very first round, getting himself a UFC contract.
Yes.
In the second fight of the night, Daniel Rodriguez outpointed Rico Farrington 30-27, 29-28, 29-28. Unfortunately, he was the only winner to not get himself a contract. Everybody from here on out got themselves one. In the next fight, the women's flyweight bout, we had Tracy Cortez, who came in and beat Maria Agapova, who at first was giving it to Tracy, but right. She came back to absolutely dominate the fight. The judges saw it 30-26, 30-26. One judge saw it 29-27.
Hmm.
Yeah. Got herself a UFC contract, so we'll see her soon in the flyweight division. And then in the next fight, we had a featherweight bout and possibly one of the best knockouts of all time Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Absolutely.
The first time Dana's actually signed somebody right on the spot.
On the spot.
He gave him the air contract.
Yeah.
He said, you're in.
You're in. I need you.
So Elan Cruz defeated a really tough fighter, and I think he was the second biggest favorite on the card. Stephen Wynn was. And like Dana said, Stephen Wynn, good things are to come from him. He was a really tough fighter. I thought, you know, he was definitely made for the UFC, but Alon Cruz, highlight reel. Got himself a flying knee knockout. That was 4 minutes and 36 seconds in the third round. So he needed it and he got it and got himself a UFC contract. Can't wait to see him in there. And then
the boy.
Yeah, we were hyping him up.
They put him in the headlining spot. Thought he was the first fight of the night.
No.
When I first looked at the...
I knew he was the headliner. Dude, the whole time.
Sick.
Yeah. Alexa. Got the fucking TKO. Got himself a flying knee knockout and followed it up with some punches. After Bisping was kind of, talking about how all he does is throw his punches.
Yeah.
Alexa came out and said, I got kicks.
Yeah. Oh, watch this.
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, right. And, man, he is fun to watch, and he got himself a UFC contract. There's now...
But guess what?
What?
After the fight immediately ended, you know, Alexa's celebrating. Mm-hmm. Dana, the camera pans over to him. He picks up his phone, and he steps off. It was Stipe calling him, saying, sign my boy.
Yeah.
This is only a glimpse of what he can do.
You know, Stipe was mad litty watching that.
So I texted Jeff Hughes. I was like, man, why didn't Stipe do that for you?
And Jeff Hughes said that he is no longer fighting Todd Duffy. He will be fighting Stipe Miocic for the... I'm just kidding.
No, but I was like, damn, you better go in the gym and fucking yeek Stipe for that. Take him out of his title shot with mega elbows and shit.
Just like 4 days before the fight, right. Just yam him with the elbow. They're like, whoa!
Chill out, Ken Flo. Damn. But... Bisping.
Hi, Jeff Hughes.
Yeah. Hey, boy. Bisping said that Alexa should probably fight at middleweight.
Alexa.
Yeah, he said he should probably fight at middleweight. So I asked Jeff that. Like, what do you think about that? Cuts from 225.
So no.
No. No, baby, no.
Not happening.
But no, he looked great.
Shut up, Bisping.
Dude, he looked great. He had just a well-rounded game going in there.
Definitely.
Was able to take a few heavy shots as well, which is always good. This is definitely the hardest test he's had. He was only 4-0 going into this, but still.
I don't know. This Fabio Chiarot dude that he fought definitely was impressive, but his competition, I did the math, and dude's four people he fought, their record combined was like 3-17.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well.
But nonetheless, he put up a good fight, but. Alexa was just too much.
Too hot to handle.
Got himself a UFC contract. Can't wait to see him in the UFC cage, following in the steps of Stipe and El Jefe.
For sure.
But yeah, that was Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, week 6. Next week coming up, we got a bantamweight bout between Dwight Joseph, who has a pretty good story. We'll be seeing.
Next week? That's tomorrow.
This week, tomorrow, whatever. You'll be hearing this. It'll be today, probably. Yeah. So. But yeah. Jay Perrin versus Dwight Joseph in the first fight. Second middleweight bout, we got Andre Muniz versus Taylor Johnson. We got a featherweight bout after that. Herbert Burns going up against Derek Minner.
Herbert Burns!
In a women's flyweight bout. An exciting battle here between Marila Santos and Lucrezia Ria.
Ooh.
Mm. And in a lightweight headliner, we got Omar Morales going up against Harvey Park. Who sounds like a superhero.
Or a stand-in.
But, yeah, that's Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, Monty's Contender Corner, whatever you want to call it. Let's do it.
We kind of ditched that name, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. We abandoned it.
Hmm.
Soy on it!
Oh, you know what? So I watched this. Soy on it! Soy on it! So I watched this MMA on Point video.
Why?
They do good videos.
It's not us. Why? It's not our content. Why are you promoting it?
Listen, because we're not on YouTube, motherfucker. All right, so that was really loud. Knock it off. Dan's not going to let us do this again. Oh, by the way, we're in Dan's basement because I was like, yo, it's 85 degrees outside. We're not recording in that fucking garage. And if you listen last week really close, at least with headphones, you can hear fucking crickets and shit. So I was like, nah, we're doing indoors.
Somebody said Slim online said Slim pooped himself in the mosh pit.
What? Where?
It's on a blog. I don't know.
What do you mean on a blog?
It's on Reddit. It's on MMA. It's like r/MMA commentators.
It was you, wasn't it?
It wasn't me.
You immortalized me in Reddit? Damn. All right. Anyway.
Stupid.
So everyone's been, you know, praising over Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. Obviously, it's been a great show. It's brought some definitely top prospects into the UFC. He did a look, a breakdown of all of the top 15 guys who came from what? Was it the Ultimate Fighter? Was it Dana White's Contender Series?
See, puppy.
Can you let me finish?
Go ahead.
I'm about to close this computer and walk back upstairs. So the breakdown was is that the most champions and or top contenders in the top 15 of all divisions, including the women's divisions right now, actually came from the Ultimate Fighter, not Dana White's Contender Series. Or there's none in the top 15 from Dana White's Looking for a Fight.
Well, Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series is only like two.
It's only 2 years old. Yes, percent. Yes, true. But I'm just saying.
And it's produced a lot of talent.
True. So basically, the breakdown, the consensus was, is like Forrest Griffin took him 3 years to get his title shot, and he had the belt. Then a year later, Rashad Evans won, or a year after Forrest won, the Ultimate Fighter, Rashad Evans won, and then a year after Forrest won the belt, Rashad took the belt from him. So it's about 3 years before people really get in their role and get in their groove to start winning. So maybe in another year, we'll start to see that top 15 flooding with Dana White's Contender Series fighters. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I agree. I think that was a great point, Slim.
Thanks.
Well put.
I don't think you paid attention the whole time.
I didn't.
No. All right. Well, we did have a fight night. I fucking hate you, dude. Dan, come and play Monty.
Awesome.
The worst.
All right. So to start off the night, we were in Newark, New Jersey, and I didn't get to watch any of this.
None of it?
None.
Me neither.
Yikes. So we're just going to be.
I thought you did your breakdown.
That's a preview for the next fights.
Okay.
Because my PlayStation View unfortunately ran out. So, and I was at the Browns game.
Well,
so.
I worked. It was tax free weekend for me. I worked 10 hours Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then had to go back 8 to 5 today.
Oh, yeah.
So I had like literally no time to watch anything. I did watch the main card. I was able to see that because it was like right on my lunch break, and I like kind of just hid up in the office. Don't tell anyone. But I did not get to see the prelims, except for the last few fights. I did get to see them. Anyway, going on this first fight, we had Miranda Granger going up against Hannah Goldie.
Whoa, hey, you're talking way too fast. Easy.
I'm on an Adderall, bro. I took a fucking Vyvanse.
I'm off.
Four rails right now, bro. I'm off work tomorrow. I'm ready to go, 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 go.
You want to work with me and my dad? He'll give you $100 for like
how many hours?
6 hours.
Oh. I don't know how to do stuff, though.
All you got to do is carry and hold stuff.
On a deck?
No. In a basement. It's drywall.
Maybe. What time?
From like 8 to probably about, probably leave around 2.
I'm really looking forward to sleeping in tomorrow, so that's going to be a no for me.
Slim!
I haven't got to all weekend.
Staying home, not making any money tomorrow. You guys heard it here first. On A&A MMA.
I'll make some money
in
somehow.
The women's flyweight division. Slim,
you're talking too fast there, bud.
Slim picked Miranda Granger, and I picked Hannah Goldie. Slim got me on that one. Miranda Granger ended up dominating the fight 30-27s across the board, which brings Slim's deficit down to a four-piece.
A little four-piece and a biscuit.
Moving on to the next fight, which was fought at a catch weight.
Which
because,
one?
Apparently... I think it was Claudio Silva didn't want to it was Cole Williams.
I was going to say, what are you weighing at?
5 pounds over the limit at 176.
Yeesh.
Easy, buddy. Let's go up to 185.
Well, look at him. Look at his fucking
pick.
No wonder.
Jeez.
Lay up the Popeyes, my guy.
Jeez.
Like Cormier at welterweight.
Right. Damn. Cormier Williams. Jeez. But yeah, Claudio Silva overcame the... Evident.
That's what I look like. Evident weight
disadvantage there that Cole Williams had, and ended up sinking in the rear naked choke. That was only 2 minutes and 35 seconds into the very first round.
Yeah, Cole Williams only landed 2 strikes.
Yeah, a very impressive performance there by Claudio Silva. I believe he stays unbeaten in the UFC. Only time he's lost was that disqualification from an illegal elbow. So his winning streak is now 14. And watch out for Claudio Silva. I mean, if he can just stay in the fucking cage, man, if he can just stay active with wins over Nordin Taleb, Danny Roberts, Cole Williams.
Isn't he the one that took like heavy breaks in between?
He beat Leon Edwards back in 2014, and then he didn't fight for about 4 years, and then he came back, and he's been active since. So
wow.
Hopefully he can get another fight here in at, by the end of the year, since he's been getting pretty quick stoppages. You know, if he could get a third fight in, might get a number next to his name.
For sure.
So watch out for Claudio Silva. Moving on to the women's flyweight division.
We had lucky Lauren Murphy going up against Maria Romero Kunoichi Borea. Borella.
Whoa, where'd you see that one?
It's her nickname.
Oh, nice.
Kunoichi.
Okay.
Kunoichi?
Damn.
Yeah, like...
I don't know. Got me.
You fucking got
you
me.
You got me.
So this fight was actually pretty even up until the third round there. Both fighters having a total of 35 total strikes. Mara Borella actually did get a takedown in one of the rounds. And, yeah, Lauren Murphy just straight up attacking the head. Mm-hmm. And end up getting the TKO in the third round.
She's alternated wins and losses her past seven fights. She's now 2-1, though, since she went down to the flyweight division. So looking good there in that division. That is now her fifth knockout in her career out of 11 wins stemming from a knee.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, people still don't get it. Lauren Murphy's out here laying down them knees.
Lucky is the name.
And Mara Romero Borella is now 2-2 in the UFC. She has suffered four of her six career losses by knockout, which takes us on
to... Oh, and we both picked Claudio Silva, and we both also picked Mara Borella.
Yeah, so I am 1-2. Slim is... Or, I'm sorry, I'm... Yeah, 1-2. Slim is 2-1.
All right, yeah. Going on this next fight, another disagreement. I had Matt Danger Schnell, and Monty picked Jordan Espinoza.
Yeah, Matt Schnell. Holy shit.
Dude, after starting off on a rocky road in the UFC, this man is coming into his own.
Definitely. Only 29 years old, too, so, I mean, probably actually entering his athletic prime right now.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, 4 in a row now.
Matt Schnell proving that the flyweight division should still be around and is still exciting and they still get finishes.
Yep, yep. And that is now his second win in a row from Triangle Choke.
Yeah, and is actually the fastest submission in flyweight history.
Wow.
Fastest or second ever? Fastest, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Second fastest. And I'm pretty sure he has only is only the only fighter with two back-to-back Triangle Chokes, at least in flyweight, I know that.
Well, was his last fight not at... Oh, that last fight was at bantamweight, so he just pulled off the first triangle choke ever in flyweight history.
That's what it was. Okay.
And then his three-fight UFC winning streak in flyweight competition is tied with Joseph Benavidez for the second longest active streak, only behind Henry Cejudo.
Wow.
So, I mean, definitely... Is he ranked right now? Is Matt Schnell ranked right
now?
He was
number 14. I'm sure that number...
Top 10.
I'm sure he'll take Jordan Espinoza's number 9.
Top 10. So... You know, looking good in that flyweight division, coming back down. And, I mean, watch out for Matt Schnell, dude. Dude's on a tear. And,
danger.
Yeah,
he's watch yourself.
Good.
Danger.
So
show me what you're working with.
Slim to, geez, minus. He's down to 3. He's down to 3. Everybody watch out. Slim's on a rope.
Hey, I'm motherfucking 3-1 on the night.
And I'm 1-3.
Nice.
I'm pooping my pants.
Uh-oh, in the mosh pit. Going on this next one, we had Antonina Shevchenko going up against
Antonina.
Lucy Pudilova. We both picked Antonina. I didn't think Lucy would be able to take her down in this, and that's pretty much exactly what it was. She did have good clinch pressure. Antonina didn't really like it, but... When they did go up in the clinch, Antonina was nailing some
some lateral shots, brother.
Nanding some lasty knees. Nanding some lasty... God damn it. well, at least you know we do it live. Landing nasty knees. And it was funny. You could hear Valentina in the corner just going, hey!
Bro, she does that in every single fight.
Hey! But it was like so consistent. How she
does it every single fight. I know,
it was funny. It was awesome. But yeah, Antonina looking awesome in the stand-up department. Pretty much, this is the fight she needed to get back on track. Got her first win in the UFC.
Yeah.
Yep. Or is it second?
That was her second win in the UFC. But Lucy Podolova now falls to a 3-fight losing streak. She's now 4-2 in, or I'm sorry, 2-4 in the UFC. So we'll see how she comes back. But nonetheless, a great performance by Antonina Shevchenko to get back in the win column.
And then her sister fights next week. How cool.
Yeah. They should have just let them be on the same card, but whatever. But that was actually the first submission victory of Shevchenko's career. And yeah.
How'd she get done again? It was a
she put her to sleep first off.
Yeah.
Jeez. Shout out to Lucy Podolova for not tapping. But yes, right. It was a rear naked choke. And
two fighters got put to sleep tonight.
Tonight?
Well, last night.
Last night?
Saturday night.
A couple nights ago?
Yeah.
It was actually three.
On this card.
It was actually three technical submissions.
Was it three?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's get into the next one. Another disagreement. Another slim winner.
Yes. I picked the call out kid, Mickey Gall. Monty picked Salim Tuari.
Yeah, I thought his striking would be a little bit too much for Mickey Gall, but Mickey Gall had it together in this one.
Mickey looked very, I don't know, it looked like he pulled it together a little bit. Mm-hmm. It still looked like...
Improving.
He's very much improving. It's only his, sixth fight?
Yeah.
Pro fight. But it just, there was something about it. Like, he looked calm and composed. You could tell by the way he was breathing.
Yeah.
Just everything about him looked like totally different fighter. But Salim was landing... Like, Mickey...
Well, he was the superior striker. We knew Tuari was going to be the better striker.
But Mickey only got 1 of 7 takedowns. Like, that's your bread and butter, my guy. Mm-hmm. You gotta get in there and get that better.
Yeah, that wrestling's got to improve a little bit.
His clinch work looked really good, I will say, especially up against the cage. But, yeah, I just expected him to kind of take Salim down a little bit more. But, yeah, he still got the dub.
Yeah, nonetheless, Mickey Gall pulling it out, getting Slim down to 2.
Did he call out anyone? I don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't see... I didn't see the post-fight interview.
Damn.
Remember. Slim's at, he's only down 2 now, so watch out for the comeback. But that was the preliminary card on ESPN.
Are you getting nervous, bud?
No. I feel all right.
All right. Going on to the main card, also on ESPN, we had Darko Stosic going up against Kennedy and Zichekwu.
Yeah, a good bout here. What do you got, Slim?
So, apparently, Darko... Dirty Darko over here landed 3 groin strikes... And ended up getting 2 points taken away from him.
Yeah, so 1 in round 2 and 1 in round 3.
That's
both.
That's horrible.
So, I mean, he got the warning for the first one and then landed 2 more.
Kennedy's hair in this picture looks like he's one of those, like, Buckingham Palace guards.
Well, that's actually, that's funny as fuck. That's the nicest I've ever seen his hair look. So good for him.
Good flat top. But yeah, Darko actually landed more strikes. He got 4 takedowns. He was on track to win this fight, but...
Just couldn't keep the foot off the nuts.
Nope. So, Kennedy ended up getting the dub all 3 rounds. It was...
Two judges had it 29-26. One judge had it 28-27.
That's right.
For Kennedy and Zichekwu getting the win over Darko.
His first win in the UFC. Right?
Who, Kennedy and Zichekwu?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, we both picked Kennedy either way.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, going on this next fight, we had Scott Hot Sauce Holtzman
taking on Dung Hyun Ma, who missed weight.
Yeah, he weighed in at
158.
Ooh, buddy. Dude, Hot Sauce looked awesome.
Yeah, he did.
God.
Very on point for this one.
Absolute clinic in the striking department. Landed 55-20 in total strikes. And he got, well, actually, they both got a takedown. But yeah, man, Hot Sauce looking awesome in this. You're really putting it together.
Definitely. Slim and I both picked him. He got the TKO Dr. Stoppage victory after the second round.
Oh, yeah. His eye was absolutely
folded.
Shut. It was not opening. So, probably still close to this day.
So that brings my record to 4-4. Slim's like 6-1.
No.
You're 1-0, 2-0. 2-1, 3-1, 4-1, 5-1, 6-1, 7-1.
Hey!
Go
it's
off.
It's looking good for me, boy.
Go off.
It's funny, we always disagree most on the prelims compared to the main card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are kind of the ones you never know about. They're a little bit closer.
Right. All right, going on this next one, we had Trevin Giles going up against Gerald Meerschaert.
Yeah, we thought Trevin Giles was going to get it done, but Gerald Meerschaert, submission game is just...
Dude, outrageous.
He just blends the striking game so well with the submissions, but he is just something else. He's got so many different ways of submitting you, but this is now two wins. Well, his last two wins are now by technical submission, so he's put both of them out cold.
Damn.
But... Yeah, dude, Gerald Meerschaert, just always fun to watch, always active. That was his 40th pro fight, so, you know, like I said, Slim and I wasn't expecting him to get that one done, but he pulled it off nonetheless, and Gerald Meerschaert moves to 5-3 in the UFC. Get this, Slim, 27 of his 29 career victories are by stoppage.
Whoa.
Which includes all five of his UFC wins.
Meerschaert?
Yeah, only two.
What? I didn't know he was like that.
Only two of his 29 wins were by decision. So,
damn. What's his UFC record?
5-3, and his five stoppage victories since 2014 in the middleweight division are tied with Jack the Joker Hermanson and Thiago Moreta Santos for wow. most in the division.
Wow.
Trevin Giles now 2-2. He's suffered two consecutive losses now after starting 11-0, 2-0 in the UFC. I just don't know if this middleweight division's, you know, it. I don't know. It's kind of hard to call. He was 1-0 when he was at, what was it? It wasn't light heavyweight, was it?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was light heavyweight. I don't know. It's hard to call. We'll see what he decides to do, but I do think he's talented. He's young. He's still got a lot to improve on.
Yeah.
And Gerald Meerschaert is an absolutely amazing grappler, as we've seen. So
right.
Tough draw there for him, but I'm sure he'll get back on track. Gerald Meerschaert defeats Trevin Giles via technical submission, guillotine choke, 1 minute, 49 seconds into the third round.
On to this next fight, we had Joaquim Silva going up against Nasrat Haqparast.
Finally, I got one back.
Look at that.
What, I got one back?
I said, perfect.
What, you didn't say
Nasrat Haqparast?
Whatever you said.
You were geeking about that. You were like, what did you say?
Because you said like Nasrat Haqparast. I'm pretty sure that's what you
said. Yeah, something crazy. Anyway. You know how it be, boy.
That shit's funny. But finally, you got one back on you here as Nasrat Haqparast landed the vicious knockout over Joaquim Silva.
Bro, why does my man look like Kevin Gastelum when he used to cut to 170?
I follow Numbers MMA on Instagram, and they posted a picture of Nasrat Haqparast, and somebody commented and said, why'd they post a picture of Kelvin?
See him.
He is a mini Kelvin, for sure.
Wow.
Got himself a performance of the night bonus. I also forgot to mention Antonina Shevchenko and Lucy Pudilova got themselves a fight of the night bonus. And Matt Schnell got a performance of the night bonus as well. But
Matt Schnell.
Yeah, finally got a win over Slim on the night. I might have been a little bit nervous if you would have got this one, but this puts me back up three. So we'll go into next week's predictions here with me up three, as me and Slim agreed on the next two. But a great performance here by Nasrat Haqparast. Let's look at some numbers for him. He is now 3-1 in the UFC. 9 of his 11 career victories are by stoppage, and Joaquim Silva got knocked out for the first time in his career. He's now 4-2 in the UFC.
Still a good fighter.
Absolutely, absolutely. But we'll see what's next for them. I think Nasrat Haqparast has a lot of promise behind him, especially in this lightweight division. He might be a problem for years to come. We'll see. But moving on to a legends bout.
Is this true? Jim Miller's nickname is A-10.
Yeah, I think so.
Did he change that?
I don't know.
That cannot have always been his nickname. Anyway, we got Jim Miller going up against the Carpenter Clay Guida. This fight started out, we both picked Guida, right? Or no, we picked Jim Miller.
Yeah, I think we both picked Jim Miller.
Guida started out with amazing footwork, as he always does. Landed a nice shot on Jim Miller, stumbled him back a little bit, and Jim Miller got one back on him. Guida stumbled, shot for a takedown. Dumb. Jim Miller yoked up the neck, and Guida went out within 6 seconds.
Yeah, unconscious. So listen to these numbers behind the historic Jim Miller. Now 31-13 overall, 20-12 in the UFC.
Woo-hoo-hoo. That's the only 32 fighters.
That's 32 fights.
The only one.
So His total fight time now, this is in lightweight, is 5 hours, 6 minutes, and 47 seconds.
Wow.
His 20 victories in UFC competition are now tied with GSP and Bisping for third most in company history behind, of course, Damian Maia in second and Donald Cerrone in first.
Jeez.
Jim Miller's 19 victories in UFC lightweight competition are the most in divisional history.
Wait, where was this other win?
What?
You said 19. He has 20. Where was his other win at?
Probably at like featherweight or something. I don't know. You want me to fucking go through the dude's
life? I just didn't think he ever changed from lightweight.
He fought in a UFC lightweight title eliminator against Nate Diaz.
Whoa. That's still lightweight.
Oh.
Right?
Maybe it was this catchweight bout that he fought against Thiago Alves, who missed weight.
That'll do it. Yeah, dude, Jim Miller. Another quick submission. He's putting on a little run here at the end of his career.
His 8 submission victories are most in divisional history, and his 12 stoppage victories in UFC lightweight competition are now tied with Joe Lozon for most in divisional history. He needs one more stoppage.
And he beat him too, didn't he, recently?
Yes.
Wow.
And he also has 41 submission attempts, which are most ever.
Ever?
Ever in UFC history.
Jeez, I thought Joe Lozon for sure had that.
Nope. Most submission attempts ever are by Jim Miller all time. And then Clay Guida, now 35-19 overall, 15-13 in the UFC. Fell to 3-2 since he went back down to that UFC lightweight division. Or did he go? Would he go to featherweight?
He went to featherweight.
Okay,
yeah,
so since he went back up. And then he is now 12. I'm sorry. He has now suffered 12 of his 19 career losses by stoppage, which includes 8 of his 13 UFC defeats.
Wow. I didn't know that. Huh. All right. Sorry, Carpenter.
But yeah, Jim Miller defeats Clay Guida 58 seconds into the very first round.
Another quick one for him.
I don't really want to talk about this next one too much.
You know what? I actually do.
Go for it. It's yours.
All right.
The floor is yours.
So we had the
main
event.
Can I have a drink of your water, though?
Yes. So we had the main event.
Please.
Colby Chaos Covington going up against Rusev Lawler. You could tell who the crowd is rooting for off rip.
Yeah. You knew.
Colby came out with the, who was it? A wrestler with the walkout. Roman Reigns, maybe?
Did he?
No. Fuck. I'm going to Google this real quick. Talk about Robbie Lawler.
Robbie Lawler. Coming in against Colby Covington, of course, the last time we had seen him before this fight was that crazy, controversial loss to Ben Askren. He had lost to Rafael Dos Anjos before that. So this makes it 3 losses in a row for our guy, Robbie Lawler. I'm waiting for
Kurt Angle. He walked out to Kurt Angle's theme song.
Oh, okay. Nice.
That was right. But he said he would only do it if he got Kurt Angle's blessing. Kurt Angle said he could. So good for
him. Just fart.
Yeah, I was wondering if you would hear that. Okay, back to Colby. So you could, like I said, you could obviously tell who the crowd was going for. Not Colby.
No.
So the chance of Robbie went throughout the entire arena, but dude, Colby came out ferocious.
He just feeds on that shit,
bro. So Colby had the most perfect game plan, and he executed it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the hands. Make Robbie cover up, go for the takedown.
Yep.
He did it every single time. Like, Robbie, I'm surprised he even landed 81 punches. It looked like he barely threw anything, like, honestly. It looked like Robbie was, like, shook, like, tired, yeah. Wore out, because Colby doesn't get tired. His gas tank is out of control.
Right.
And he was able to take Robbie down almost with ease. He landed 10 of 18 takedowns, about 2 per round, basically. Mm-hmm. So... and he was holding him down for quite a bit. He had opportunities to go for finishes. He just didn't. He was just like, you know, okay with wearing Robbie out and just beating on him.
Yeah.
He didn't really go for ground and pound that much either. He was just trying to, I don't know. It was kind of weird, but he just wanted to wear Robbie out. But once he got on the feet, like, Colby doesn't have the best striking. It's not the most powerful striking.
But when you're throwing 533 total strikes.
Yeah. Some are going to make it through.
Matter.
Yeah. Some are going to make it through. And, yeah, Robbie was eating him up as best as he could. Had Robbie in all sorts of trouble. Not like rocked or anything, but just Robbie didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
He literally didn't know what to do. And yeah, so Colby getting the dub. All 5 rounds, he won 50-44 or 50-54. right? No.
One judge had it 50-44.
So Colby then coming out saying 4 weeks ago, he took this fight on 4 weeks notice, he says, because he couldn't have a training camp because he cut right under his eyebrow. It was a really big cut, actually. The doctors stitched it up, I guess, but it didn't heal all the way. So he claims he wasn't able to spar, he wasn't able to wrestle or anything like that. He was just doing, like, running on the treadmill and lifting and whatnot. And Tyron Woodley coming out today saying he did that as just a, what's it called? I don't remember what he called it, but like a safety, basically. So now that he won, he looks like a badass. Like, oh, he couldn't even train and he beat Robbie Lawler. But had he have lost, he would have said, oh, I couldn't even train because I had this cut.
Right.
But apparently he did cover up the cut from the commission with makeup.
I'm sure he just wears makeup anyways.
That's fair.
But word on the street is that happened to Mike Perry too, and he covered it up with a tattoo.
Exactly. So yeah, that's what Mike Perry said. And he said, Colby putting this like a bitch. But yeah, absolute domination by Colby Covington. I just wish he would stop carrying around that belt. I'm surprised the UFC let him carry that into the ring.
That's just all a part of his little fucking stupid ass character. But so, as I previously mentioned, Colby Covington attempted 533 total strikes, which in turn set a new single fight UFC record.
Ever.
Most strikes thrown ever in a fight.
Are you serious?
He also attempted 510 significant strikes, which set a new UFC record.
Wow.
So, most significant strikes ever thrown and most total strikes ever thrown, Colby Covington from now on. His 7-fight UFC winning streak in welterweight competition is now tied with Santiago Ponzinibbio and Elizo Zaleski Dos Santos for the third longest active streak in the division, of course, behind number 2, Leon Edwards, and the champ himself, Kamaru Usman.
Jesus.
Colby has landed 58 takedowns combined in his 11 UFC fights. What other little figures?
How high is that on the leaderboards of all-time takedowns?
His 58 takedowns landed in the welterweight division are most among active fighters in the weight class. That's all I got for you. Hold on.
Okay.
Robbie Lawler's 3-fight losing streak is now the longest of his career, and he hasn't won since July of 2017.
Aww.
That's 2 years.
Ruthless.
And he's 9-5 since he returned to the UFC for his second stint, and he has suffered 3 of his 5 losses since making his UFC return by decision.
Wow. So, I have to play this clip.
Okay.
So, Colby went up to the booth.
Yep.
With Kamaru Usman, Rashad Evans, and what's her name? What's that chick's name?
Huh?
With the curly hair that always says the commentary. Karen Bryant.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Anyway. All right, so here is Colby and Kamaru meeting face to face on air for the first time. And Kamaru's fucking opening statement had me rolling. Have you seen this yet?
I saw where he like took off his jacket.
And oh, bro.
Afterwards, what do you have to say? You guys are face to face.
No, actually, I got a question. You know, honestly, first of all, congratulations on your performance. But you know, you're standing here and you're kind of talking now. When did your balls drop? Because
God,
bro, I thought he was gonna be for real. Like, honestly, I have a question. Like, how do you think you could beat me? No, he went, when did your balls drop? Bro, Kamaru Usman is a dog.
Jesus. Yeah, he's gonna fuck Colby up too, and I can't wait.
Okay, but here's the thing. They're basically the same person.
Not the same person, same fighter.
Wait, same. Yes, that's.
But no, I don't agree
same,
with that either.
Same fighting style. So
they're both dominant wrestlers.
I do think Usman has the better striking, but I really think in the wrestling department, it's whoever's gonna get the most dominant position first.
I think we saw with Tyron Woodley what happens when Kamaru Usman is in the cage with somebody
right,
who we
what
think
happened
is
if
equal
the
to
same
them.
Thing. What happened with Colby? Colby and Tyron. Now it makes me think, like,
who's beating Kamaru Usman though? Who's beating Colby Covington?
No one right now.
No one right now, but somebody has beaten Colby Covington.
Sure, we years ago. It was years ago.
It was in 2015.
But someone beat Usman, too. I'm just saying. They're both only have one loss on their record.
But how long ago was Usman's?
Usman's was like one of his first fights.
Exactly.
I'm just saying. Well, Colby did lose to Bam Bam, who's a fucking dog.
No, he lost to Warley Alves.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I watched that. It was a weird guillotine shot. Anyway, but still, that's going to be such an interesting matchup. I really think Usman will have the advantage in the striking department. I don't even know if Colby will shoot. I don't even know if either one will shoot for a takedown. Because they're both collegiate wrestlers. I mean, that's going to be a stalemate in any position for the most part.
Who knows?
We
might see who the best wrestler is.
That's what it's going to come down to. But I think Usman definitely has the hands.
I just think it's Kamaru overall.
Here's where Colby fucked up. In this little interview, I'm not going to play the whole clip, but it's like 7 minutes. But Colby mentions like, what do you mean you're exciting? You've never knocked anyone out. And like Karen Brown is like, what's his name? Like Silva or whatever, that one like lightweight dude that moved up and just got sacrificed to him.
To who?
Kamaru. Do you remember that?
No.
He knocked him out like against the cage. And
Yeah. I got you.
And so Colby drawed attention to himself because he's never knocked anyone out.
Colby's never had a knockout?
No.
Not one.
And Usman has.
Colby's never had a knockout.
No. Maybe a TKO. But Usman like, knocked that dude out clean.
Cold, right.
Yeah. Usman knocked him out clean.
Yeah. Robbie TKO'd Max Griffin.
Robbie.
Huh?
You said Robbie.
Oh, Colby knocked out or TKO'd Max Griffin and Anying Wang.
Well, but yeah. Colby looking absolutely dominant. He's still a fuck boy.
Yeah, he is.
But
big old fuck.
You know what? Oh, God, I can't wait to see this fight.
Big old fuck ass bitch.
They were talking about MSG. Kamaru said he's ready. Well, he said he's ready right now. But, I mean, he said he would be ready by then. Colby said, let's do it. I'm ready for that. Sorry, Jorge.
You'll get the next one.
You'll get the next one.
Him versus Leon.
Yes.
Four-man Grand Prix.
With Tyron versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. Santiago Ponzinibbio. Santiago Pansnabio.
I agree, though. Totally. Slim.
No, sorry.
You already know we called it. So.
But if that's not the fight, it's Darren Till versus Ponzinibbio.
Ooh, I like that one, too.
Because where has Ponzinibbio been? What do you mean?
He tore his fucking shoulder up or something, right?
Yeah, but that was last year.
Hey.
When he beat Neil Magny.
Easy. Give my guy some time.
I'm just saying. Come on, guy. Get in there.
So how about this stat, Slim? Betting favorites this year in UFC headliners. So who people think the favorite is. 11
Which Colby was, right?
11 and 13.
What?
11 and 13. One fight had even odds. So there's been 25 headliners. And the favorite has only won 11 times.
People have been picking wild. Like, they picked Brian Ortega over Holloway.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, so, I don't really agree with the odds, like, all like that. But that is pretty wild.
Yeah.
That's an interesting fact.
Right. So, yeah, that was UFC on ESPN 5, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to this weekend.
Oh.
August. Slim's got a side note.
Quick news, because I was talking about MSG. November 2nd.
You're performing at MSG.
The halftime show. Between the prelims and the main card.
No, I just meant like a full rap concert. You. Only Slim. Like you're Jay-Z.
Yep. Sold out both nights. On my Drake shit. They announced Johnny Walker versus Corey Anderson.
Ooh,
not announced.
Fire.
It's in the works, but it's very close. To
that's fire. I like that one.
That's
I guess.
Basically title eliminated at this point.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Dom Reigns fighting Chris Weidman.
That's to get to the next step.
Right. Because Weidman's not going to get a title shot if he wins.
I don't think so.
He's on, what, a 4-fight losing streak?
Something like that, yeah.
So I love that fight. I think Johnny Walker absolutely pulverizes Anderson and gets the belt. Well, gets the title.
Yeah. So that brings us to this upcoming weekend, August 10th, where the UFC will be traveling for the first time ever to Uruguay.
Where is that?
Southern America, like, kind of by, like, I think it's, like, right next to, like, Brazil and Venezuela.
Oh.
Let's see. Uruguay.
Uruguay.
It's located. Doink, da doink, doink. I can't see anything. Slim.
Are you blind?
Yep.
I told you not to drink that moonshine, bro.
Hey, Slim. I don't know. It borders Argentina to its west and Brazil to its north and east.
Huh.
So there you go. There's your little geography lesson.
Thanks. All right. Real quick, can you just pull up the odds on the main event? I got to know how bad this is going to look.
I got the minus 1,400 favorite Valentina Shevchenko against the plus 722 Liz Carmouche.
Wait, what? Wasn't that about the same she was against this guy? Or was she like 1,100?
I think it was 1,100. So wow. I think Jessica had a better chance.
Yeah, she did. Ooh, Liz.
All right, let's get this preview going, baby. I got my stuff. So, Slim, are you doing your predictions again?
Might as well.
Oh, he's on fire. He's feeling it. He's feeling it.
I'm feeling it. Okay, so in this first fight, we have two fighters on a little bit of a losing streak. We got Veronica Macedo going against Poliana Viana. Macedo is on a 3-fight losing streak with a draw right before that. She started off her career with a 5-fight winning streak. She is 5-3 overall. Poliana Viana is 10-3. She's on a 2-fight losing streak in the UFC. She did win her first one against Maya Stevenson, and she had 5 wins right before that. So
yeah, so
very interesting.
Poliana, the robber stopper, Viana.
Yeah.
I'll start with Macedo. So she herself has a very dangerous ground game. I do think though that Viana is going to hold the ground advantage when it comes to submissions
for sure.
Macedo might be able to get a couple takedowns, but Viana works pretty well off her back. I think Viana might be a little bit more powerful on the feet as well. So I think I'm going to go with her. I'm not looking for like a huge stoppage or anything, but I could possibly see Viana getting some type of stoppage, maybe in like the second round. But
yeah,
betting wise right here, I'm going with Poliana Viana to defeat Veronica Macedo via unanimous decision.
Same.
ANA MMA. Going to agree on this one, and the odds on that one are currently they still got Rachel Ostovich. Ooh, did you just throw up?
Nope.
They still got Rachel Ostovich.
I forgot. What happened to Rachel?
I don't know. Undisclosed reason.
Did you see that goddamn thirst trap she posted?
Yeah, I've been seeing all of them. In this next bout, we got a very interesting matchup here as the Brazilian Gilbert Burns comes in on short notice against Russian Alexei Konchenko, who has a 20-0 record.
He's only 5'8 at 172.
Who, Alexei Konchenko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, 13 knockouts, 1 submission, and 6 decisions.
Yeah. Who, Konchenko?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he gets it done, man. He's got good stand-up game. He does, like, kind of doing a little bit of a... I don't think, like, he's much of a power puncher for as many stoppages as he has. Like... I don't think he's just going to go in there and just like flat out KO you, especially against somebody like Gilbert Burns, who's throwing a lot of heat back at him.
For sure.
And then when it comes to the ground game, Gilbert Burns is just on a whole different level than Konchenko is. I think Alexei Konchenko is going to do his absolute best to keep this fight on the feet as long as he possibly can.
Definitely.
But I think that Konchenko is unfortunately going to take his first defeat, snapping the streak at 20. I'm picking Gilbert Burns to defeat Alexei Konchenko via second round submission.
I'll take Konchenko.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. Alexei Konchenko, I also don't have the odds on this one, but Alexei Konchenko was originally supposed to take on Laureano Staropoli, and he was the minus 180 favorite there, Konchenko was. So... We'll see once it's fight day, but I don't got the odds right now.
Huh.
Moving on to the next one.
That's your pick, huh? We have Rodrigo Vargas going up against Alex de Silva Coelho. Sorry.
Yeah.
Coelho is only 23 years old, and he's got 22 fights under his belt, 20-2.
Yeah, and this man loves getting it done by stoppage. The Brazilian has all 20 wins by stoppage. He's just an extremely dangerous striker. He uses his knees, his elbows very effectively. And, I mean, obviously he's got a great submission game. Otherwise, he wouldn't have 20 stoppages.
Yeah.
But he does have a loss in his last fight where he took on Alexander Yakovlev and his UFC debut. So he is 0-1 in the UFC. And the fighter he's taking on here, Mexico's Rodrigo Vargas, he's a really good wrestler. And he kind of blends his boxing and his wrestling very well. And once he gets on top of you, just vicious ground and pound.
For sure.
He absolutely loves pouring it on once he gets on top on the ground. And I think that that's actually how this one's going to play out. I think he wears away at Silva, uses his wrestling and submission defense to stay out of harm's reach here with Silva. Or, I'm sorry, De Silva. I'm going Vargas. I'm sorry, first names as well. Rodrigo Vargas to defeat Alex Da Silva.
I like that.
Via unanimous decision.
I'll take Da Silva.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. I'm going with Rodrigo Vargas. Slim is going with Alex Da Silva. The odds are currently sitting with Rodrigo Vargas as the minus 205 favorite. Ooh. Over the plus 165 Alex Da Silva.
Wow. All right.
But I think I got the underdog in the fight before this, so I'm sorry.
Going on this next one, we have El Guapo. Hey, my man, Chris Gutierrez, going up against Geraldo de Freitas Jr.
Yeah.
Why does it look like he's got a mugshot in this Sherdog picture?
both fighters with one win each in the UFC.
One each.
De Freitas coming off an impressive win in his UFC debut where he absolutely dominated the talented, nonetheless, Felipe Colares. He showed really good punching power, especially with his right hand. He likes cocking that one back and throwing it. But I don't think he really strings together enough punches, but nonetheless, he is effective. He has a good submission defense, and he's never been submitted in his entire career. But when it comes to the offense submission game, he's not really too aggressive when it comes to that. And on the other hand, Chris Gutierrez likes staying active on the feet. He's not afraid at all to use that wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I think his advantage in this one is going to be his cardio and the activity he's going to be using the entire fight. He's going to do his best to avoid De Freitas' big punches that I'm sure he'll be throwing there in the first round. But I feel like he might have the advantages there in rounds 2 and 3. So I think that's how this one's going to play out. Chris Gutierrez defeating Geraldo de Freitas via unanimous decision.
You know what? De Freitas has only, his last two losses were split decisions dating back to 2014 and 2015. And he's been on a 7-fight win streak as from there, winning multiple decisions since then. I am going to go with de Freitas Jr.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. Slim's going with Geraldo de Freitas. I'm going with Chris Gutierrez. Geraldo de Freitas is currently sitting as the minus 135 favorite over the plus 105 Chris Gutierrez.
Nice. Going on to this next one, we have Rogério Bontorin going up against Raulian Paiva.
Raulian
Paiva.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Another 23-year-old fighter with 20 fights under his belt, 18-2.
Yeah, they stay busy there in Brazil.
Bontorin is 27. He's 15-1. He's got a 3-fight win streak under his belt. He won on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. I'm assuming this was the Brazil version it was. And then he beat, he beat Magomed Babulatov back in February. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and his UFC debut. I mean, that shows, too. They're giving you Babulatov in your UFC debut. So
I'm pretty sure we picked against him in that, too.
Oh, yeah, we did. He was a huge underdog. Right. Whether it's on the feet or on the ground, Bontorin's always pushing the pace. He's always advancing. He can finish on top. He can finish from his back. He's always looking for submissions when he's on the ground. And then when he's on the feet, just landing elbows, strong punches and bunches. Paiva, I feel like in this fight, he might be kind of fighting off his back foot. He might be getting backed up a little bit, which I feel like he's not used to. He's usually the one who's trying to push the pace.
Right.
I don't think his submission game is exactly as good as Bontorin. So I think when it comes to his advantages, he might have the wrestling advantage and possibly a cardio advantage, depending on how much Bontorin's pushing the pace. But in a possible dark horse fight of the night, I'm going with Rogerio Bontorin to defeat Julian Paiva via TKO in the second round.
I will do the same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Rogerio Bontorin over Julian Paiva, and the odds are currently even on that one. It's a pick'em at -115 each.
All right, on to the next one. In the women's strawweight division, we have the Tiny Tornado, Tisha Torres, coming back after her loss against Luigi Zhang back in March.
Three-fight losing streak for Tisha Torres.
Ooh, hate to see it. Going up against Mariana Rodriguez. She is 32 years old, 11-0 so far. She just got a win.
11-0-1.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, she did just get a win over Jessica Aguilar. She was on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series in Brazil, and she had a draw in September to Randa Marcos. But she's never lost other than that.
Nope. And, I mean, she's got triangle chokes. She's got wins via knees and punches. You know, she does look for stoppages, but for the most part, her wins lately have been by decision. So, not expecting this one to be any different, really. I do expect, though, Tisha Torres' strength is going to be something that Marina Rodriguez hasn't experienced yet. I know Tisha Torres is currently on a 3-fight losing streak, but her losses are to Rose. Like you said, Weili Zhang, and then I think the other one's Joanna. So, mm-hmm. I mean, that's three very...
Oh, no, it was Jessica Andrade.
Jessica Andrade, okay.
Yeah, and Joanna as well. It was Weili, Joanna, and Jessica.
So, but she did lose to Rose. That was her first career loss. So, yeah. Her only losses are to Rose, Jessica Andrade, Joanna, and Weili Zhang. So, three champions and a fighter who's about to fight for a championship. So, it shows. I mean, she's at the top of the top.
Mm-hmm.
She might struggle a little bit against the best fighters in the world, but I don't exactly think that Marina Rodriguez is at that point in her career yet. I do think she's a very talented prospect, but I do expect Tisha Torres to completely control this fight.
What's the odds on this one?
The odds are currently sitting with Tisha Torres as the -165 favorite over the 135 Marina Rodriguez. I'm going with Tisha Torres via unanimous decision over Marina Rodriguez.
There's a 6-inch height differential.
Yeah.
Fuck it, give me Rodriguez.
ANA MMA going to disagree on this one. Slim's going with Marina Rodriguez. I'm going with Tisha Torres. How many?
Wow, these are a lot of unknown fighters.
How many disagreements is
that's
that?
That's like
one,
four so far.
Two. Did you take Da Silva?
Yes.
Three. Did we disagree on the first four like that? Oh no, you took Poliana Viana.
Yeah.
All right, so we disagreed on three. Yeah, that's four now. Moving on to our seventh bout of the night. A fucking banger in the making. My vote for possible fight of the night. Although, it might not be very might not be very long at all.
Yeah, we'll see. We got Cyril Gain. The France fighter. He's 29. France. I think he was a boxer, wasn't he?
He was actually a French Muay Thai champion. From what I could see, his record was 12-0. Just extremely unorthodox. He throws chop punches and double fist punches, and but he has like good technique behind that.
Whoa.
Like I know, right? Like a double fist punch.
Wow, a pair of undefeated fighters here. His opponent is Rafael Pessoa. He is 9-0 mm-hmm. with seven finishes, six
yeah.
Knockouts, one submission.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
So we got two big punchers here.
Oh, he just fought in the LFA too.
Yeah, Pessoa definitely has a big, devastating right hand. But honestly, if you look back at who he has fought and their records, he hasn't fought the best competition.
Yeah.
But he has had three more fights than Gane, and I do think that counts for something.
It does. MMA experience is a big thing.
This one could go either way. Obviously, we know what happens in the heavyweight division. We know the punching power. We're going to see it when these two men get in the ring. But I'm going to go with Gane in this one via first-round knockout.
Same.
ANA MMA going with Cyril Gane over Rafael Pessoa.
And the next one, we got Enrique Barzola going up against Bobby Moffett.
Moffett.
Enrique just coming off that loss against Kevin Aguilar, but he was on a 4-fight win streak right before that. He mostly wins his fights by decisions. We got 4 KOs and 4 submissions on his record. Bobby Moffett, on the other hand, he just came off a loss to Bryce Mitchell back in March. But he was also on a 4-fight win streak before that. So
2-0 in the UFC.
Yeah, this is an interesting matchup.
Definitely.
Interesting.
I think it's going to be a good stand-up. Interesting. For the most part, I feel like they might keep it standing. I do think Barzola might have a little bit of a better wrestling and jiu-jitsu advantage, but when it comes to staying on the feet, both these guys like throwing hands. They both throw punches and bunches, so it's going to be a very active fight, I do think. But I do envision Enrique Barzola getting the unanimous decision victory over Bobby Moffett in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA going to agree. Enrique Barzola is currently sitting as the minus 170 favorite over the plus 140 Bobby Moffett. And back to that last fight, Cyril Gane is the second biggest favorite on the card at minus 400 over the plus 300 Rafael Pessoa.
With 3 pro fights?
Yeah.
Damn.
He's a freak.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
Freak of nature. France.
Oh, he's got a little Ngannou in his blood, huh?
Continuing.
Dude, he's, I mean, he's 6'5", 265. Shit. Right. He may, very well might.
Continuing this main card on ESPN+. Plus.
We got Rodolfo Vieira.
Rodolfo Vieira going up against Oscar Piechota. And right now, we have one of the most decorated jiu-jitsu champions to ever transition to martial arts.
You know what his nickname is? The Black Belt Hunter.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, Rodolfo Vieira going up against an impressive Oscar Piechota. Piechota was unbeaten overall and was unbeaten overall and 2-0 in the UFC before he suffered a setback in his last fight against Gerald Meerschaert. Of course, we said he got choked unconscious. But he likes working for submissions himself, but I can guarantee you he will be doing everything he can to keep every second of this fight that he possibly can on the feet.
Mm-hmm.
He does not want to go to the ground under any circumstance because he is going up against an Abu Dhabi, Pan American, you name the tournament, he's won it champion.
Oh, what about that one?
He won it.
Oh, what about this?
He won it.
What about the one back
in? He won it. Oh. He won all of them. He's won every single tournament ever in history. A billion times over. No, but seriously, Rodolfo Vieira, one of the best jiu-jitsu champions ever to transition into mixed martial arts. I'm looking forward to see him get in the UFC cage for the very first time. I am going to pick him to win this fight via first round submission.
Same.
ANA MMA going with Rodolfo Vieira over Oscar Piechota. And the odds are currently sitting with the minus 215 favorite Rodolfo Vieira over the plus 175 Oscar Piechota.
Nice. On to the light heavyweight division. This fight has been moved like twice now?
About a billion times, damn it.
I think it should be a little higher up in the card. At least one more fight. Anyway.
I agree. But hey, we got to get the Uruguayan people there, fighters. Yeah, so.
We got Irelia Latifi going up against Volkan Ozdemir. Latifi coming off that loss against Corey Anderson. He was on a nice 2-fight win streak before that with wins over Ovin St. Preux and Tyson Pedro. He hadn't lost since 2016. We got Volkan Ozdemir, who is on a 3-fight losing streak right now.
Yeah, he is.
After going on a crazy win.
Yeah.
Or a crazy win. Wow, yeah, that crazy win.
Yeah, he was on that 5-fight win streak, of course, that saw him make his way to a title shot in three fights.
I didn't know he fought in Bellator.
Yeah, he lost in Bellator.
Well, he won one, lost one.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, dude, Volkan on a 3-fight losing skid. I didn't think I would see that from him.
Yeah.
I mean, he has fought the top of the top, but still.
Right, and don't forget that in his last fight against Dominic Reyes, he could have very well won that fight.
Could have.
It was a split decision. Should have.
I'm not going to lie.
Right. So, I mean, Anthony Smith got him with a rear naked choke. That fight was all the way into the third round. And he took Daniel Cormier 2 rounds, I guess.
Right.
But that's DC. I mean, that's a tough one.
Yeah. However, I am taking Ilir Latifi in this one. I think his pressure is going to make all the difference. I think he's going to be able to duck and weave the heavy shots of Volkan Ozdemir. Being the shorter fighter, he's going to get in there and possibly get a knockout.
I think we're going to see Ilir Latifi's renowned lack of endurance in this one.
Ooh. I think Volkan's going to... No time is going to take him past the time?
I think so. I think... I do think it's going to end up a stoppage. So I'm going to go with Volkan Ozdemir over Ilir Latifi with a third round TKO.
Five disputes. Have we ever had this?
I don't know, Slim. It's a lot.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Oh, this is going to make or break me.
Yeah.
Both of us, actually. Mm-hmm. Shit. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Nice. Going on to the third fight to the main event. We have Humberto Benedet going up against.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me give the odds on that quick. Volkan Ozdemir is the minus 145 favorite over the plus 115 underdog Ilir Latifi.
Very close.
Okay. On to the next one.
Very close. We have Humberto Benedet going up against Luis Eduardo Garagori? Garagori, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Garagori.
Garagori.
Okay. Garagori is
12-0.
He has 4 TKOs and 5 submissions.
Yeah.
Obviously, never lost. His last fight was just back in March, and he was coming off a TKO in that. Humberto, however, is on a 2-fight losing streak to Austin Arnett and Gabriel Benitez. He did win it. Jesus, I'm just all over the place.
You're doing your
the bubbles. he did win his first fight in the UFC, and he was on a 5-fight win streak before that, but he's coming off 2 losses.
See, that's where it's tough, though, because Luis Garagori coming in here.
Yeah, you tried the Gabaguchi.
At 12-0.
11.
I'm sorry, 11-0. He's 12-0.
I got 11, but go off.
No, he's 12-0.
All right.
I'll name every single one of his wins. But his last 2 opponents, though, both debuting fighters.
True.
Hadn't had a fight before him.
Oh, ever?
Ever.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this guy's had 9 fights, and I know it was your first one, but, like,
and he's totally unbeaten and sleeping everybody in the first round. So, yeah, you got it, buddy. Smack you on your ass and send you out there.
Hey, good job. Try again.
Sorry, yeah. But he's going to get his first real test here with a UFC-tested Humberto Benedet, who I'm pretty sure now, if I'm not mistaken, this is his 4th straight different South American country that he's fought in.
Hmm.
I think he fought
He fought with Magny and Ponzinibbio. He fought with Maya and Usman. And then the first one was Pettis and Moreno.
He fought in Mexico City, Mexico, in his first UFC fight. Santiago, Chile, in his 2nd fight. Buenos Aires, Argentina, in his 3rd, and now he'll be going to Uruguay. That's Damn. 4 South Americans.
He's like, nah, fam, I ain't got a visa.
He's got a visa to every South American country in the game.
Yeah, but it, like, he can't get... Never mind. Anyway, bad joke.
But he goes for it in the first round, usually. Most of his fights end by stoppage, whether it's him or it's the other person. For the most part, these fights are going to be quick. I don't know, Slim. This one's hard to pick.
I don't like this one at all.
Do we go with the streaking 12-0 unbattle tested?
I mean, have you looked up what his other opponents are like? Like, are they all fucking? Newbies or are they scrubs?
The last 2 people, like I said, debuting fighters. Dude before that 7-2. Dude before that 8-1. Dude before that 6-15. Another guy 2-3. Another guy 0-1. So,
I mean, I like that.
I don't know. Give me the newcomer, I guess. Give me Luis Eduardo Garagori in front of the Uruguayan crowd. He's their 1 fighter, so hopefully
Wait, what? I thought he was from like.
You know he's Uruguayan.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yeah, I'll take him too.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with Luis Eduardo Garagori, the only Uruguayan fighter on this UFC card.
This next fight's fucking exciting.
Jeez.
but kind of weird too. Vincent Luque is number 15 in the welterweight division. He's taking on unranked Mike Perry. Yeah. Platinum. Luque is on an absolutely insane win streak right now.
Yeah.
He is on a 5-fight win streak. His last loss was to Leon Edwards back in 2017. And then he was on another 4-fight win streak before that.
Right.
Absolutely insane. He is 2-9 in the UFC right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the welterweight division, that's nuts. Going up against Platinum Mike Perry, he did beat Alex Oliveira in his last one. Lost Don Cerrone, beat Paul Felder with a broken arm, lost Max Griffin and Ponzinibbio. I mean, I got to see this for Luque. There's not much more to say about that.
Yeah, but did I already give my fight of the night contender? Because this is it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that battle with Luque and Barbarina in which they both just were slugging shots. There, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But Luque came out in the end, and I think that's exactly how this fight's going
to
go.
Yep. Vicente Luque to beat Mike Perry, ANA MMA. I'm going to go with a... I don't know about a third round TKO, Slim, but I'm going to go with a second round TKO.
I don't see him finishing Perry, to be honest.
Ooh, really? I think somebody's going out in this one.
Decision.
Somebody's going out in this one.
Maybe.
If I had to pick a fight for...
Mike's been so tentative lately, though. Like, he started off just, like, going crazy, knocking people out, and then he got his first...
I feel like Luque's style, though, is going to match up with Mike's, and it's going to be a brawl.
He's somewhat of a counterpuncher, though.
I don't know. I think we're going to see a banger.
It will be. But I see it going all three rounds.
I'm going with Vicente Luque. Second round TK over Mike Perry. And that brings us to the title fight. Valentina Shevchenko.
And I'm picking Valentina Shevchenko for dominant victory. No. She is taking on Liz Carmouche, who was the last woman to beat her. And this was back.
That's not true at all.
What?
She was the first woman to beat her.
Oh, I'm sorry. First woman to beat her. This was back in 2010, though. 9 years later, here it is.
Let's revisit that night, Slim.
Yeah.
Let's revisit that cold day in Oklahoma when Valentina Shevchenko and Liz Carmouche fought in an open-air octagon.
Oof.
In the snow.
It was snowing.
In a dim-lit octagon at that.
Whoa.
Apparently... When Liz got to, she had just started fighting at that point, and before Valentina had been doing Muay Thai back in like 2003, so she'd been doing this shit for a while.
Yeah.
Well, I guess Liz started fighting or whatever. She shows up to the promotion.
Or whatever.
She goes all the way. She goes all the way out to Oklahoma. This is, I think, it's like her fourth fight, and she looks at the promotion card. She was supposed to be fighting a girl named Antonina Shevchenko.
That's right.
But on this promotion poster, it was a blonde girl standing not orthodox. So Liz Carmouche asked the promoter, who is this? Who am I fighting? They said, you're fighting her sister, Valentina Shevchenko. And Liz Carmouche says, oh, the one who's been doing this for 10 years? And this is my first year?
Word?
All right. So I guess her trainer's sitting there, you know, protesting with the talk, you know, politicking with the...
Yeah, like, no.
And Liz Carmouche is in the background. Let me take the fight. So they come out of their dressing rooms, which were little shanty shacks, little white...
This is in Oklahoma?
Yeah, like little white, like trailers almost, where Liz Carmouche tore a piece of ceiling off from just shoulder checking her trainer getting ready for the fight.
Jeez.
So they walk out. Valentina is just dominating the first round.
Mm-hmm.
She gets hit with an up kick and starts profusely spitting blood all over the cage out of her face.
Oh.
Everywhere. So.
You watch this?
No, there's no video on this. You cannot find video anywhere on this. It's probably on somebody's cell phone that got thrown away 7 years ago.
A flip phone.
Right. But, yeah, Liz Carmouche ended up battering up that cut, and the doctor ended up stopping it in the second. I think it was the second round.
Wow!
But what a weird night in MMA, and who would have thought 9 years later these two women would be fighting at the pinnacle of the sport for the title?
Bruh, you know who Carmouche's last fight was? Lucy Podolova.
Yeah,
we just saw what happened there with Valentina's sister. What the fuck is Valentina gonna do? Come on. So,
ANA Come MMA on, going Sean to take Shelby? The minus. I mean, but who else Sean are you going to give her?
Shelby.
Who else are you going to give her? Right.
Well, let's look at the rankings. I haven't looked in a while.
Nobody actually. Right now. Nobody was ready.
Well, true.
Everybody who's coming up's young.
They're young. They're too young.
They ain't ready for that Valentina.
It's just, this is going to be a massacre.
Valentina Shevchenko, ANA MMA going to go with a minus 1400 favorite. I mean, if you guys want to take Liz Carmouche at plus 722, be my guest. You would win a lot of money.
I'll put a paycheck on it. But
I would not
recommend it.
I would recommend, though, some prop bets. Mike Perry, Vicente Luque. If you can take that fight to end before three rounds, I would definitely do that. Even though Slim here does think that's going to go all three. I think that one is a safe bet to actually be the quickest one to, or I'm sorry, a fight to end. Also, I don't think Liz Carmouche will last five rounds with Valentina Shevchenko. That you could also take the under five rounds.
Oh no,
on that
baby.
One. And then also my third fight, I think you can take to not go the distance, Cyril Gane and Rafael Pessoa. So if you want to do prop bets on that one, those ones are always on the table. Go ahead and take that advice. But yeah,
Monty betting odds, Vegas man.
Yeah,
you ever been to Vegas?
No, fuck no.
Why'd you say it like that? If you're betting, if you tell people to bet their money,
because I'll bet like illegally, but I'm not going to like legally
illegally?
Bet somewhere. I'm
How's
not going
it illegally. We do DraftKings all the time.
Yeah, but that's fantasy sports. That's different. Fantasy sports are legal, but like actually placing, like if I wanted to put $100 on Liz Carmouche to win me $722, I can't do that because that's sports. That's like called a sports book. Like that's bookie type shit. You're not allowed to do anything that involves like bookies or nothing like that.
I thought you knew a bookie.
Geez, Slim. Go ahead and just air out all my fucking.
Are they
going to
come
illegal.
To your door?
You can literally only go. You can only go legally gamble right now in Nevada and New Jersey. That's it.
Huh. Didn't know that.
Those are only two states you can legally go place a bet. Okay. But there are other states that are
then
working on getting those.
Why do they always do the odds? Why do they always do the Vegas odds?
Just because people want to know who the favorite is.
Huh. I feel like the favorites are so like money driven though.
Well, it is money driven. That's exactly what it is. That's what shifts odds is the money coming
right, but
in.
If a bunch of people think like, yeah, I got Liz Carmouche in this, then odds don't matter. Obviously, people are putting money on Valentina because she is probably going to win. But if a bunch of dumbasses threw $1 million on Liz Carmouche, then the odds would slim down and be like 100 to 200. What's the point?
Well, they have like a base that they're going to stay at. The money can only shift it so much. I mean, even if nobody bet on Valentina and everybody put money on Liz Carmouche, Valentina's still going to be the heavy favorite.
Fair enough.
She'll just probably be like a minus 800 favorite.
I just go with it. I don't know how that shit works, but.
What a nipple ring.
I was thinking about getting one.
Ew, that would be the grossest. Your fucking hair would get so intertwined in that thing, bro. You'd be like waking up like,
You talked me out of it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about getting a nose ring, like a little stud.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You'd have to take it out for work, though.
Why?
Because you work at a corporate job.
So?
You're not allowed to have nose rings.
Motherfuckers got septums and shit. Fuck that. No one says a damn thing.
I don't think they'll let you do it.
Yeah, well, guess what? I ain't taking it out.
You should get.
We sell real diamond and gold like setting shit on our website too. So it's not about to be no little fucking shit from Claire's.
I think
this
you
is about
should
to be a real diamond in my nose, motherfuckers.
I think you should worry about changing your butthole bullhorn before you. Get a nose ring.
You know, it's just a little bit thicker than the butt plug I saw, so that's why I went with that.
Oh, I thought you had the bullhorn that actually connects your butthole.
To
so you
what?
Can't poop.
Connects it to what?
Itself.
What?
Like a bullhorn.
Oh, piercing.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that why I've been so backed up?
Probably. It's probably why you've been shitting out of your fucking toes.
Only twice a week.
You look like those things that kids play with where you just like squeeze their Play-Doh and it like starts shooting out of their like hair and stuff.
Yeah, because sometimes I just don't feel like pooping at work. Bro, let me tell you, fucking goddamn Friday. Got into work,
right?
Just doing everything, got the store open and whatnot. I'm like,
right. Damn,
I drink all this coffee, like I gotta go.
Yeah, you're about to poop your pants, right?
Did my thing, got my little, you know, like they have like the mats.
You know,
like
did my little thing.
the paper mats, set it over the seat. I'm sitting there. I'm just like looking on my phone. I'm enjoying my little, you know, little break.
Right.
On the clock. This motherfucker comes in. I don't know. Some dude in the support team. I don't even fucking know him. He's about to leave. Like they work like the fucking 5-to-1s. Like
weirdos.
Yeah. Like, oh, I love waking up early, getting off early.
Are you talking about like the people who like organize the shelves and stuff?
Like like open up the stuff off the truck and like throw it out to the floor. Yeah. So, bro, first of all, I have common courtesy. If I like in the men's employee bathroom, there's two like stalls and one urinal. All right. If someone's in the stall and I really got to pee, I might run through the urinal real quick. But if someone's in the stall and I got to do anything else but pee, I'm just closing the door.
What else would you have to do? I think shit. There's only one other option.
Yes,
other than
shit.
I thought you
fucking
were
rub
jack
one
off.
Out. Yeah, I mean, like sometimes you gotta, you know, you see a hot girl on the floor, you gotta.
Oh God.
Go right to X Videos. So, if I see someone, if the stall door is closed, I will literally just close the door and wait. I'll wait my turn. It's common courtesy, right?
I'm
not trying
to
shit next to a fellow employee.
Yeah, I guess.
There's no when you gotta go, you gotta go. No, I can hold that. So I'm doing my business, all right? I'm pretty much done at this point. I'm just kind of hanging out, about to wipe up. Motherfucker runs in here, sits next to me, and starts. Bro, I was fucking. No blumps. Like.
Oh, continuous flow?
I was pissed. So I'm sitting there uncomfortable as fuck. Because now I'm like, this motherfucker's going to hear me use 27 rolls of toilet paper because this shit, it might as well be receipt tape at this point. It's so goddamn thin. And I just fucking just try to get out of there. Who does that?
So you didn't thoroughly clean your butthole?
Next to a stall. Yeah, I had an itchy butt all day. It's a stall next to a stall, bro. Wait your fucking turn. There's a public restroom. Go in that. If you're going to be that noisy, like, we're not cool like that.
Yeah, I ain't trying to hear all that.
I almost literally said something.
I'm not trying to hear all the inner workings of your bowels.
Okay, so that was Friday. So today,
no,
same thing happened.
No, same dude.
No, different dude. Wow. I don't know
who it
was.
I was going to say, now you got to talk to him.
I tried to recognize it by the shoes that I saw, but I couldn't tell. Motherfucker's watching SportsCenter next to me. I'm just hearing, who's that white dude? Ketterman or something like that?
Max Kellerman?
Yeah. I'm just listening to him go off about Anthony Davis, and I'm just sitting there like, is this what people do when I can't find them on the floor?
Literally.
I'm just sitting there like, what the fuck? So, again, do my business and get out. I was like, God damn it, bro. I hate that. Common courtesy. It's like we only had two urinals. You're not going to piss next to me. I'll be looking at you like, what the fuck are you doing?
If there's only two urinals...
Yeah, in the whole store,
bro.
For employees,
it's a urine. Oh, for the employee, but in like a public restroom, like
no, if it's public and it's like a concert or something, I'm getting in there. I'm getting out real quick. But if it's like, yeah, dude, like dude, just
sounds
wait.
Like you got a.
I don't like
a
that
little
shit,
bit.
Man. I like my privacy. I like to do my shits. So I like to wipe my ass 100 times because I got a hairy ass, and then I like to get out of there. Sometimes I clog the toilet. You never know.
So, yeah. You sound like one of those ritual pooper type guys.
I'd like to get paid when I poop, but I like to do it in my own privacy. I'm about to start bringing my own toilet paper to work.
Yeah, that's what you should do.
That's what I should do. Have it in
and,
my desk.
And I would recommend, since you got the itchy butt and the hair thing
going
on.
Well, not anymore. That was just the one day, but...
Yeah, but you
I
also
do
got,
a hair thing.
Just bring a couple baby wipes.
I don't like baby wipes. I hate it. Makes me feel like I just had diarrhea and I didn't clean it up enough. Just wet butt. I don't like that.
Well, why are you? You gotta do the baby wipe and then a couple more light towel or toilet paper wipes.
I've just never liked.
Do I need to fucking teach you how to wipe your ass like your parents?
Can you,
like,
can you do it, for
mommy?
Me?
I'm done.
Can you do it for me?
Yeah, I'll teach you how to wipe your ass. We'll fucking go up in Dan's bathroom and we'll do a tutorial.
No,
we'll fucking,
just do it for me.
You couldn't pay me enough. On the bright side,
I'm well kept.
Brad and I christened in First Energy Stadium, first time 2019, smoking a nice joint
in the stadium.
In the stadium.
You know how we do.
Hell yeah.
You know, had to get the vibes right for the stadium.
you know the vibes.
Put our sage in the air, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, cleanse the shit.
Yeah, so
get all that good. Steelers juju out of there.
Oh, we, you know, we're hollering at Odell and shit. You know, big Liddy. I got way too drunk. Fucking, it was awesome. So,
who'd they play?
Themselves.
It was a scrimmage. How'd they do?
It was a team scrimmage. It did awesome. No, but they did look great.
Well, who had Odell? Red or blue?
It was the orange versus the brown team.
Who did better?
I mean, orange squad was looking nice. I'd have to say, though, I was most impressed with the linebacking core. Mac Wilson definitely impressing me. The rookie linebacker coming out of Alabama. Everybody looked good. Taki Taki, the other linebacker coming out of BYU.
But, I knew you liked Takis, but damn.
Looked good. Sheldon Redwine, another rookie. Just a lot of young guys showing out, so it was fun to watch. Odell looked good, of course. Jarvis Landry looked good.
Cool.
And then I'll be back there Thursday. Catch me at the Browns game. You already know.
I got to close and then open.
I'll be Liddy.
I'm going out to PA this weekend. Shout out H Money. Bro, first of all, look at this flyer that Chanel made. Shout out Chanel for making the flyer because no one else did. I love you, but bruh.
See both sides like Chanel.
She didn't do it right.
It's only you.
So it's dope, right? Because it's called the Backwoods Bash. Like she did with the Honey Backwood. Yeah. Like, okay, cool.
It's
but look
only
at the bottom.
You. It's only
it says
you.
H Money featuring Chanel. Also featuring Slim and Freely Spoken. Chanel, you're up first. I didn't get to tell you, but H Money told me you're the opener.
See on both sides like Chanel.
So, and guess what? Next is Freely Spoken and then me.
Oh, why are you trying to stunt on Chance like that?
Because it's the first time I've been above him on a set ever. Mostly because he just says, like, hey, you want to play the show? And I'm like, yeah.
And because H Money believes in you.
H Money does believe in me, dude. He does believe in me.
That's good. You need friends like that.
Like I said, I'm staying the night there. We're going to work on some music on Saturday. He's going to show me around some PA cool stuff. Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Going to be a good weekend.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good, Slim.
Yeah, brother. And then I'll come back Saturday night and watch these fights. If you want to watch them together, let me know.
Yeah. Should be able to.
Okay. Well, that's all I got.
Yeah. For Slim's hairy asshole... This is Monty.
For Dan's basement. First time we've gotten to Chris in this basement together.
Yeah. Shout out Spyro.
You always do that. Fuck that guy.
You won't say that to his face, so.
Bet.
I'll get him here. You always like talking when the animals ain't in your face, Slim, but when Corleone starts barking at you, you start getting...
I have yoked Spyro across the table before.
You start getting mighty squirrely.
I don't know about that guy, but I've yoked Spyro across the table before. I picked him up and chucked him.
I'm surprised you did not get extremely clawed up badly.
Because I did it quick.
Yeah, but if you got to get in contact with him, he's going to latch.
I know he will.
He's a latcher.
I know. He's a velociraptor.
And I haven't cut his nails in about, I'd say like 2 months. So those, I have to get him when he's asleep, like knocked out, like when he's like, like, you know how you take those naps and you wake up and you're like, what the fuck
happened?
Now
you take those
bro?
Ambiens and you're like.
Yes, exactly.
You
I need to
give him
I need
football,
to crush up
like,
a fucking perk and make him snort it.
You put Ambien in his water bowl? Like, my God.
Yeah, you
fucking
gotta,
couple bars.
You got to cut those nails when he's.
Good Lord, my guy.
Knocked out looking like Joaquin Silva.
Damn.
Mm-mm.
All right. And with that, all right. We out of here. We'll let you know what happened next week. I'll let you know how bad I beat Monty. Yeah.
Or Slim's not going to want to record at all next week. You guys will know. Depending on how
well,
the fights go.
You'll know if you don't see anything.
Yeah.
And with that, we love you. Bye. This has been ANA MMA episode 87.
Peace.